You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Top of the morning to you. Hope your week is going well. Thanks for spending this Masters Thursday, this Frozen Four Thursday with us, Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller underscore Moulton on X. David LaRalla, he covers Major League Baseball for a living. He will join us to talk a little baseball 2 weeks into the season. Hey, Marlins have a win for every week. He will join us in about 35 minutes' time.
They're going to need to pick the pace up a little bit.
You know, in football, a win a week is really good. Baseball, not so much, no.
No, it really isn't. Even two wins a week is not good in baseball.
No, even college baseball, you know, a win a week, not good. A win a weekend, not good. So, anyway, hoping to connect with Chad Forbes, talk a little NFL draft coming up here in a bit. 2 weeks today, baby, the draft in Detroit. Fired up. Fired up. I'm starting to think I might have to go under on the trades. And we haven't established what the number is, but I don't know. I'm getting the sense that maybe not as much wheeling and dealing as in the past.
It just what you're reading, the tea leaves telling you you're not seeing trades?
Yeah, once the Vikings move up to get their quarterback, I mean, what other trades are we going to have in the top 10?
I don't know if we'll have any in the top 10, but I do see the middle – part of this draft, because of the lack of edge rushers, if that's what you need, you know, like you mentioned earlier, Pittsburgh going after the fourth wide receiver. There's a big difference between the fourth wide receiver and wide receivers 5, 6, and 7. It all depends on how these runs go, on the runs of defensive players early, on the runs of tackles, and what your need is.
And we discussed earlier, there was a mock draft that I read yesterday in which the Steelers moved up from 20 to 12, and they moved up to get Brian Thomas, the second wide receiver from LSU. And that there's a thought amongst NFL people that while this is a very deep wide receiver class, that there are four that stand out. There are four that they think could be ones. And that there are a bunch of number twos and quality three receivers. And they'll all go Thursday and Friday. A whole bunch of wide receivers are going out of the first 100 picks. But that there's a big four. Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Odunze from Washington, and Brian Thomas. And then after that, there's just a difference between Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Right? Fair to say?
Exactly.
Yeah, one's a one, one's a two. So, you know, and so the Steelers aggressively move up because, you know, how far does Brian Thomas fall? I mean, you look at the draft. You know, the thought is Tennessee is not going to take a wideout. They've invested heavily in that position in trades and free agency. Atlanta's probably not going to do it also. Chicago at 9, the Jets at 10, Minnesota at 11. You know, if Arizona trades with Minnesota and moves down to 11, do they take a wide receiver? They got a lot of needs. You know, do you take the fourth best wide receiver? Or you take maybe the third best offensive tackle? Do you take the second best pass rusher potentially at 11? So, you know, how far down does the fourth wide receiver fall? What was the draft that the Bucs moved up to make sure that they got Wirfs? Because the thought was there were four offensive tackles and then there was a big drop-off. And once the run started on tackles, and I think the Jets took Becton at 11, and Tampa Bay was like, we got to get Wirfs. And it turns out they probably got the best one of the four, and they got him at 14. But they had to move up to get him. But obviously it turned out to be worth it. And so, you know, that's, I guess, Mark, there could be that. If you draw the line at edge rushers, you know, if there's Dallas Turner and there's Latu and then there's, say, Verse of Florida State, and then you think once you get to Chop Robinson and the Robinson kid from Missouri and what have you, that you're really that's the second tier, then, you know, maybe you move up.
Well, that's, to me, it's going to be the receiver or the defensive player, because there seems to be an abundance of tackles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, if there's a trade, there's a trade for quarterback. But as far as the runs go, it's the run on the receivers, and to me, it's the run on the three, because Chop Robinson keeps slipping on a lot of these boards.
Mm-hmm. Yep. In fact, Chad Forbes, who we were supposed to have on, he thinks at 26 in the latest mock that he's done, that Tampa Bay will have the choice between either Chop Robinson or Kool-Aid McKinstry, that they'll get either one, a corner or an edge rusher, sitting at 26. Hmm. Okay.
But all it takes is one team to have a need, trade up, take that player, right, and then what?
Exactly.
And that's why when you were talking earlier, is it going to be a run? Both can be true. You know, there can be a run on receivers. There can be a run on the edge guys, and it might not go the way people think it's going to go at all. If the Jets take Brock Bowers instead of a tackle, okay, then that opens the tackle position up for more teams, theoretically.
And if the Colts have their heart set on Brock Bowers, then what do they do at 15? Also, there are certain teams that, let's face it, do we really know what the Saints are doing at 14? Do we know what the Bears are doing with that second first-round pick at 9?
No.
You know, they don't have a second-round pick. So when they're done at 9, they don't pick again till the third round.
Well, what's Tennessee doing at 7?
Well, a lot of people think they're taking Joe Alt. That the first 6 picks are going to be quarterbacks and wide receivers, and therefore they'll take Alt. And if they don't take Alt, they'll take Fashanu, the other tackle from Penn State. Say if the Chargers take Alt. That the Titans are going offensive line. They need a left tackle. They're going to draft one, plug them in, bada bing, bada boom. You know, if you're Atlanta, what's Atlanta's big? Don't you think Atlanta's got to go best pass rusher?
Yes, I do, David. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
You know, so is it Dallas Turner? I mean, is that the guy that you think's the best edge rusher? You know, do you think it's Verse? Do you think it's Latu? I know Jacksonville's hoping at 17. Jacksonville's hoping for one of two corners. Terrion Arnold of Alabama or Quinyon Mitchell of Toledo. So if those two go before Jacksonville at 17, Jacksonville's going to be throwing things in their war room. You know, Indianapolis wants Bowers to fall to them at 15. The Jags want one of those two corners to fall to them at 17. You know, that's the stuff in which you're right, Mark. If one team, it's kind of like, how much blackjack have you played?
A lot.
You ever been at a table in which the cards have turned and they're in our favor? The dealer's getting hammered. All the right cards are coming. And one guy takes a hit when he's not supposed to take a hit. And that ace comes out, and that should have been the dealer's ace, and the dealer goes bust, and we all win. And because one person at that table took that card, now the next 4 hands, we all get destroyed.
No, that's actually when you get up and you walk away from the table. When the guy sitting in the hole there hits that 15 with a 3 up and busts.
Or 13, hits 13 with a 5 up.
Right.
Either way. But he takes the card when he's not supposed to, and it's late, and you just go, oh, what are you doing? And then you're right. You should get up and leave. But usually what we do is, you know, we've been winning for 15 minutes, so we're not going to get up and leave. And then now we lose for the next 5 minutes, and it's like, thanks, buddy. And you're right. That's kind of it takes one pick in which all of a sudden teams go, oh, come on, seriously? They took a corner? You know, like if the Saints go corner at 14, the Jags will panic.
Boy, that, you're right. There's another team, the Saints. What are they going to do?
Yeah, what are they going to do? Got a lot of needs.
They have. You're right.
Don't have a third or a fourth round pick, by the way. So do you trade out of 14 to somebody? Like if you're Green Bay, your picks have picks. You're at 25. The Saints are at 14. Is there somebody there in which you go, I'll move up to 14 if so-and-so is available? I mean, is it an edge rusher? Is it a corner? Is it a shutdown corner? Here we go. We'll be moving on from Jair Alexander soon. Here we go. Draft that guy. Well, it's going to cost you a 2 and a 3. Yeah, that's fine. We got a bunch of them. You know, that's the stuff I'm hoping for. But, you know, right now that's the stuff I'm not hearing is going to happen. And I don't know, Mark. Team A's got a bunch of second, third, and fourth round picks. Team B doesn't have a lot of second, third round picks. Don't you think Team A would want to trade with Team B and vice versa?
Which takes me back to why in the world, and I'm serious here, unless Arizona gets one hell of a deal with all the picks they have, I'm not sure they have a need to trade out of that spot.
Well, how about if this is the reason? Because remember, the mock draft that I was talking about, it was the Steelers moving up from 20 to 12 to get what? The fourth wide receiver, Brian Thomas. What if the Cardinals think, well, we can make that trade with the Vikings. We can move down from 4 and take 11 and 23 off their hands and also maybe get a first-round pick in next year's draft. And because we can get Brian Thomas at 11. Yeah, Harrison will go at, you know, 5 or 6, and then Adunzi will go, you know, and Neighbors then, you know, the Bears will probably take Neighbors because they didn't think he'd fall, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we'll get one of the LSU wide receivers at 11. So we can make that deal. So we don't get Harrison, but we get one of the LSU wide receivers.
Yeah, I just wonder if they have Harrison ranked as the best player on their board and they're sitting there at 4 and get the best player that they think is available in the draft.
Wouldn't that be something that the Vikes want to trade up and Arizona and the Chargers both go, no, man, we're good. 21 minutes past the hour. We'll talk a little baseball in a little more than 15 minutes. David Lorallo will join us. Season 2 weeks old. That's if you don't count that two-game series in Korea. Season 2 weeks old. And the Rays have twice as many that pitchers on the IL, and the Marlins in 2 weeks have 2 wins. So there you go. Things are going swimmingly, I think. Mm-hmm. Now, Brandon Lau also looks as if he's going on the injured list with an oblique injury. I mean, 13-0 last year. Boy, that seems a long time ago, doesn't it?
It really does. And yet they're hovering above 500.
Right.
It's almost like they're going to have a reverse of last year, David, where the Rays are going to have to figure out a way to get to July and just be treading water when the pitching comes back, the injuries they have now. I mean, they're going to have to really try to just survive the first couple months of the season.
We'll talk baseball in about 15 minutes. Hey, serious talk now that the Coyotes are going to move from Phoenix to Salt Lake City. Let me ask you a question. Forget them and that sport. Name me a franchise that you think could move, because I don't think the Phoenix, Arizona sports scene is going to bat much of an eyelash. Like, I guess today is the 15th or 16th or whatever anniversary. The Atlanta Thrashers ended up playing their last home game today, whatever year it was that they ended up moving. But the fan base didn't know it at the time. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, 2-3 months later, they gone. Has Atlanta really missed the Thrashers?
No, they haven't. And I thought the Thrashers were going to be a huge success. I happened to work in Atlanta for a minor league hockey club at the AAA level, was outdrawing the Hawks on a nightly basis. Selling more beer than the Hawks, selling more food than the Hawks. The Hawks people hated it because they own the damn building. So I always thought hockey, the NHL would do well there. It didn't, and they didn't. They don't miss it at all.
I don't think they do either. I mean, you know, they've had a soccer team that's moved in, drawing 70,000 where the Falcons play at Mercedes-Benz. I mean, you know, Atlanta seems fine. Give me a franchise that you think they could get up and move, and honestly, the city would be like, huh, well, that's a bummer. So where are we going for dinner?
Tennessee Titans.
No way.
No
way. Are you out of your mind?
I mean,
it's an NFL team.
Are you nuts?
Maybe.
It's an NFL team. They're building them a brand new stadium. $2 billion.
They're second. Super Bowl. Their second stadium.
Okay. We don't have to go down this rabbit hole, but
no.
The media there has a completely different take than you guys.
Okay, what do they say? That the Titans could move and Nashville would be okay with that?
The Titans don't have a whole lot of fans that are front. It's all tourism. It's all young people, implants. That's their fan base. It's not like a – I'm just saying, in the spirit of this question, if a franchise could pick up and move and the city wouldn't suffer a whole lot, I think Nashville –
The city – okay, I get you there. The city wouldn't suffer. I understand
they've
that.
They've only been there 20 years. You know what I mean? It's not like they've been there – well, 30. But
we hear you. That's interesting because also, as Mark pointed out, they're building them a second stadium, and Nashville, I mean, is there a city that's – thriving more in the last 15 years in Nashville?
Well, that's a whole different thing, too, with the stadium. The locals don't want that because it's going to cost a lot of money. Everyone else wants it.
Gotcha. I think it's the Charlotte Hornets.
That's a good answer.
I honestly, even though it's not like Charlotte has a ton of teams.
The Miami Marlins. I'll repeat that one for you in case you didn't hear it. The Miami Marlins could pick up and move tomorrow, and no one would give a rat's behind. Nobody.
He went there.
Come on.
Oh, that hurts. That really does. I feel like, you know, when you get the kidney punch, not just not the punch to the gut. You can fight through the punch to the gut. It's the kidney punch that you can't make it through the 10 count. You're down. That's a 20-30 second deal. That's always the knockout punch. Nobody survives a kidney punch.
I wish the Marlins were 11-2 instead of 2-11. Because I think my point would even be that much more stronger if they were winning. Because no one would be going anyhow.
They'd be 11-2, and they'd be getting the same draw, which is very minimal.
Bupkas. And I know they have an all-you-can-eat section, David, and I know that means a lot to you.
Well, it means I'm going to have to hit it soon. I mean, because now you got me thinking they could get up and move.
They're not going to because baseball wants them there so badly.
They do. International city, international sport. Right. They do. Mm-hmm. Wow. That hurts, though. Not going to lie, because I don't think you're wrong. I think the city would be like, wow, man, I can't believe we lost them. That's a bummer. So where are we going?
Exactly.
You know, but it was only a few years ago that answer could have been the Florida Panthers.
Not saying it still couldn't be.
Come on now.
Really?
I actually think they're establishing a foothold.
Bruins fans that go to Panther games.
Oh, stop it. They're selling out on their own. Come on.
Win!
Got a really good team again.
This is the
they're
best.
A well-run organization for the first time. Come on now.
Is this the best Panthers team in history, franchise history?
Last year's team, or 2 years ago, they won the President's Cup. And got bounced. Let me just to see who's a little more accurate, because the Panthers, if they're an established franchise,
oh boy, here we go.
You'd be able to the big price of tickets for tonight's home game. They're selling fast.
Oh boy, here we go.
Well, there it is. I can get them in upper deck seats for $12 each for tonight's game.
Yep.
Oh, here's some lower bowl seats for $37 each. Yeah, I'm telling you, the Florida Panthers, an established franchise. The Heat and the Dolphins are established franchises in Miami. The other two could go away tomorrow and no one would give a damn. Nobody.
Okay.
I think, David, you're going hard overhead on this one.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I'm taking a loss here. It's just a matter of whether or not it's going to be a decision or whether it's going to be a knockout. So I'm just going to ask, one more question. What about the Rays? I actually think people would be bothered.
I think they'd be bummed. I don't know if they'd be bothered.
I actually think that it would create a little bit of angst. But Tampa would be like, well, we got the Lightning. We got the Bucks. We're good. You know.
We've played in St. Pete anyhow.
Exactly. You know, I didn't think about the Florida franchises when I threw that question out there.
No, you probably didn't.
Wow. I may have to stop talking about the Arizona Coyotes or the Salt Lake City. By the way, what do you name them when they go to Salt Lake? Don't do like the Jazz when they went from New Orleans to Utah and you kept them the Jazz. They opened the first jazz club in Salt Lake City in 2021. I mean, come on.
The Salt Lake City Skiers or Sledders.
I'm just wondering, what do you name them? Can't keep them the Coyotes, can you?
No. I'm with you.
Sports Talk Radio in Salt Lake. Get on it. Need a name.
You're listening to Miller and Moulton, only on the Florida Sports Network.
22 minutes till the top of the hour. The Diamond District bonus hour awaits for our loyal audience in the 239. Thanks so much for being with us. Masters delayed 2.5 hours. So the first tee times won't be till 10:30. Ceremonial start will be in an hour and a half at 10 minutes past the hour with Jack, Gary, and Tom. We're going to talk a little baseball now. David Lorela covers baseball. Fangraphs.com, Fangraphs.com. Follow David on X at David Lorela, L-A-U-R-I-L-A, and then Q-A, David Lorela, Q-A. David, it's David and Mark. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great, working on my second cup of coffee in the morning, so I think I'm fired up and ready to go.
There you go. I got to say, before we get into baseball, I got to find out how your fan. I was looking at your Twitter bio, and just to rub it into our producer, who is a diehard Lions fan and a Michigan native, you're a Youper, but you're a Packers fan, so where did the Packers fandom come from?
Up where I grew up, guys, in upper Michigan. It's probably 60-40 Packer fans, I would think. Green Bay is closer than Detroit to most of the UP. So, yeah, a lot of cheeseheads out there.
We understand. Hey, 2 weeks in. All right, your thoughts. I mean, the Astros are 4-9. Bunch of pitching injuries. Pirates and Royals off to great starts. Your thoughts 2 weeks in, David?
Boy, my thoughts. You mentioned the pitching injuries. I hope there are enough pitchers left in the league to finish the season. I mean, my God, guys. I mean, it's insane. You know, you start going down the list of guys with elbow injuries this year, like, you know, Strider, Bieber, Cole, you know, Otani's not pitching, you know, Yuri Perez. I mean, that's a rotation. That would be the best rotation in baseball in history. And those guys are all out. I mean, it sucks for the game of baseball. You know, that your best pitchers aren't there, and guys just keep going. And I don't think anybody knows why there are so many injuries, if it's just happenstance or if there is a specific reason.
David, is there anybody that you've talked to, anything that you've heard, any theory that you're buying on these injuries whatsoever?
Well, I think certainly it is how hard guys are throwing and how hard they're throwing and training to throw hard at a really young age. I work out of Boston. I'll be at Fenway Park tonight. I was in Pittsburgh at PNC for a few games this past weekend, and I was talking to a young Pirates pitcher named Jared Jones, who throws 98, 99, 100 miles an hour. You know, he's in his early 20s. He's a rookie. And I was talking to him about how much he's changed as a pitcher since high school. And I was expecting to hear a lot about, with analytics, I've learned this about my pitches, et cetera, et cetera. And it wasn't that. He said, not really a lot has changed. He's just a little older. And I said, well, you throw harder. He said, not really. He said, if I'm remembering correctly, he said he threw 97 as a sophomore in high school. Which is insane. And this kid is 6'1", 180. I'm sort of pulling that, out of my backside because I haven't looked it up. He's not a big man. And it's just like, how can an elbow withstand that, at a young age, and just keep going? So I hope I'm not predicting accurately that his elbow blows up at some point in the near future.
Well, but David, doesn't every team assume that every one of their pitchers is going to have one Tommy John? I mean, baseball people we've talked to in the last few years, they assume that at some point every pitcher is going to have one Tommy John. And there are some organizations that like it when the guy gets it out in his early 20s and then they can move on.
Well, I mean, but can you though? A pitcher just got hurt again and is about to have his third. And I'm
right.
I have not finished my second cup of coffee yet. So the name's not coming to me.
Right, I got you. Well, and DeGrom, has suffered one in coming out of college and obviously suffered one now in the majors. So you're right. I mean, is it Bieber, by the way? No, Bieber.
No, actually, it's TJ Antone, a reliever for the Reds, I believe, who has fantastic stuff. But, the funny thing, guys, with it being velocity, they're talking pitch clock now. And I kind of buy that the pitch clock doesn't help, that the guys have less time between pitches. I mean, as a fan, as a writer, I love it. But I don't think it's good for pitchers. They talk about the sweeper, but none of, like the Strider, Cole, Bieber, I don't think they throw, sweepers. But, another guy I talked to in Pittsburgh, Marco Gonzalez, a lefty, was in Seattle for a long time. He throws 90 miles an hour. He's your classic crafty lefty. He had TJ, I think, in like the minor leagues. So he doesn't fit the profile of a guy who would get TJ. So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe everybody in baseball is going to have TJ.
Who's off to the Yankees, obviously, I'll take them and move them to the side. But we've got the Guardians off to a good start. The Royals and the Tigers and the Pirates off to a good start. Which of these teams that maybe didn't expect a lot are you buying into for not keeping up necessarily where they're at, but when we're in September, we're still talking about them playing meaningful baseball?
That's a hard question. Baseball is so darn unpredictable. I guess maybe what you have to do is look at the central divisions where you don't have the elite teams. So you have a chance to contend if you're not great. The Reds aren't off to a great start, but they're sort of my pick there. Pittsburgh could be sneaky. They're 9-3. I saw them win two walk-offs while I was there. They have young talent, but, I saw the Tigers there, and A.J. Hinch, is always, he is insightful. He said something interesting. I asked, how similar do you think your team is, the Pirates are to your team? And he talked about how both teams are young and that young players, I forget his exact wording, the performance is going to be maybe a little volatile or inconsistent because there's, to a certain extent, learning the ropes. So, some of these young teams, it's hard to predict if they're going to be consistent enough, to win, 85 games and go to the postseason. But, yeah, maybe I'll take Pittsburgh as my dark horse, along with the Detroit Tigers.
David Lorela covers Major League Baseball for Fangraphs, fangraphs.com. Follow him on X at David Lorela, LauriaLa. David Lorela, QA. David Lorela, QA. Hey, give me a team you thought was going to be good that now, 2 weeks in, you're concerned.
Oh, man. You know, I think it's really too early to want to answer that question. I mean, today is, what, April 11th. I mean, so many crazy things can happen. You know, you look at the inverse of that, guys, is, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays last year with their start was impossible that they're going to keep up. You know, but, and they, you know, sort of fell back to earth. I'm trying to think, conversely, the Washington Nationals, the year they won the World Series, got off to a slow start. And I don't think they were above 500 until almost the All-Star break. So I think it's really hard to predict that a team isn't as good or is better than you think it is. You know, and I think this goes back to injuries. Guys getting hurt around the league are going to impact division races. So maybe that's a crappy answer to give, but it's sort of how I look at baseball.
Fair enough.
When you look at the Orioles, you've seen them up close now a couple of times. Obviously, last year, a tremendous year. I don't know if they can equal what they did last year, but are they in the position to at least attempt to equal what they did a year ago?
Oh, absolutely. And it's funny because in the media scrum at Fenway last night with Brandon Hyde, with the manager, another reporter asked him about, you know, how good the team is this year. And he actually mentioned that their youth, that they're actually younger than they were last year. And that, you know, could mean maybe more, you know, peaks and valleys for them. Are they going to win 101 games again this year? No, I don't think so. That said, if I could be a fan of any team in baseball right now, I think I would pick the Orioles because their young talent is just so immense. And will be for years. I mean, you know, the 20-year-old kid, Jackson Holliday, made his debut at Fenway last night. And it was sort of an event. There were a lot of Orioles fans at Fenway Park really, you know, grooving on that.
Well, they certainly have the prospects that if they want to make a deal for more pitching, they can. But, David, if you had some pitching, and your thought in spring training was, we'll probably deal these guys in around the trade deadline. With all the injuries, I mean, I'm not kidding. Do you maybe get rid of your guys in May and not wait till July? Because by July, they might blow out their elbow?
Oh, boy. I mean, I guess
like,
the,
you know,
GMs
we follow...
the GMs with the crystal balls are the ones who are going to win this war.
But, like, we follow the Marlins, and I'm serious. The Marlins obviously off to a horrible start. And if things stay bad, okay, if you're the Marlins, I mean, do you hold on to your pitching till the All-Star break? I mean, hell, you've lost two guys to TJ in the last few months. I mean, why would you hold on to your guys?
I mean, it's a tough call. I mean, the Marlins aren't as bad as their start. At least they wouldn't be if they were healthy. I mean, something that really intrigues me, guys, is, you know, Luis Arraez, you know, a couple of batting titles in a row. He's hitting .250 in the early going. Again, it's the middle of April, but I'm really interested to see, is Luis Arraez going to end up hitting, you know, like .325 again? You know, because I'm a big fan of, like sort of old school baseball. I like paying attention to things like batting titles, which is really passe now, but I think it's kind of cool. So I will be following Luis Arraez.
Well, and he's another guy in which they're going to have to either likely trade or sign to a long-term deal, and the Marlins are not good at signing their players to long-term deals. He's David Lorela. He covers Major League Baseball for Fangraphs, fangraphs.com. Follow him on X, David Lorela, QA, David Lorela, QA. David, enjoy the rest of that second cup of coffee. Thank you for your time.
I might need a third, guys, but take care.
Thanks. You understand. He's at a night game at Fenway last night, so early start for David. We get it. I mean, Mark, you said you woke up feeling heavy this
morning. Yeah, I felt soggy.
Right, that's right. I'm sorry, it was
soggy.
Right.
Well, and it was the first really humid morning we've had. The weather has been so nice. And I felt like I was slapped with a wet blanket when I took Frank out for his morning walk. I said, uh-oh, it's here. That thick air is back. And where it will remain until late October, early November. Right.
So did Frank give you a look? I mean, did he also, you know, look at you like, hey, it's soggy out here?
I think so. He went to the third tree. That was the sign.
The walk was shorter. Hey, I'm sweating already. We got to end this. I get it. David Lorela joining us, talking a little baseball 2 weeks in.
The walk will have to be quicker in Augusta today if they try to get this in, because they will not tee off until 10:30 this morning. The last group's going off at 4:30. So they'll be finishing the first rounds tomorrow morning.
Darn right.
And because of that, you wonder how much golf they'll be able to get in tomorrow. You know, how much they have to finish tomorrow will affect when they start tomorrow.
I mean, Mark, you know what they might have to do? I mean, they might have to, you know, shotgun start it.
Stop it. And they're not sending them off both sides either. Would you stop it over there?
You might as well add some music to the proceedings. I mean, you know, let's go. Norman's there, after all. You know, first time he's been there in 3 years. He said everybody's being nice to him. All right. We'll see. He had to get a ticket just like everybody else, you know. They didn't, I mean, World Golf Hall of Famer, but, you know, they treat him there like, you know, whatever. Didn't win our tournament, so you're not that big a deal. It's true. Okay. 3 years ago, too, he had to get a grounds pass, a regular pass. He couldn't walk inside the rope, you know, couldn't go to certain areas that you think Greg Norman would be allowed to go. That's all.
He didn't bring any of it on himself.
No. And we love Greg, but maybe a little bit.
And it wouldn't be like some place like Augusta to hold any sort of a grudge over someone that they've got a problem with.
No. A couple of the LIV guys have been saying at their media sessions, like, you know, there needs to be a better path to get into the Masters. And the Masters chairman came out and said, no, there's a clear path. Okay,
all kinds of them. We let in amateurs. The Mid-Am champ, the Latin amateur champ. There's a bunch of paths to get to this tournament.
Right. And they're like, besides, it's an invitational. If you're good enough, we'll invite you. And they're trying to say, come on. Like Taylor Gooch and a couple of these guys, they're not good enough. And the Masters is like, no. Not this year. Maybe next.
Never heard of you. Miller and Moulton, along the network, have a great rest of your Masters Thursday. In the 239, the Diamond District bonus hour, that comes up next.